The first scripture I'd like to share with you today is from 2 Corinthians in chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. Let us together hear the word of the Lord. Are we beginning to commend ourselves again? Or do we need, as some, letters of commendation to you or from you? You are our letter, written in our hearts, known and read by all men, being manifested that you are a letter of Christ, cared for by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. Our second reading is from 2 Corinthians as well, chapter 13 and verses 7 through 14. Let us again together hear the word of the Lord. Now we pray to God that you do no wrong, not that we ourselves may appear approved, but that you may do what is right, even though we should appear unapproved. For we can do nothing against the truth, but only for the truth. For we rejoice when we ourselves are weak, but you are strong. This we also pray for you, that you be made complete. For this reason I am writing these things while absent, in order that when present I may not use severity, in accordance with the authority which the Lord gave me, for building up and not for tearing down. Finally, brethren, rejoice. Be made complete. Be comforted. Be like-minded. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints greet you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Here ends the reading of God's holy word. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Since I have felt it is the Lord's will for me to retire, and my wife and I have been called to serve under a new ministry, the Time of Renewal Radio Ministries, there are a few parting words that every good pastor, I think, should say to his flock. I have chosen these words on a communion Sunday, not on a regular Sunday. And the simple reason is this. No matter how far apart you and I are from one another, we are still in communion together through God's Holy Spirit. When Paul had the occasion to depart from the church at Corinth, he offered them a simple parting message, and he summarized his ministry among them by indicating that all that he had done had not been recorded on stone tablets, but rather was indelibly written upon human hearts. Paul wrote to the church in Corinth, "You are our letter, written in our hearts, known and read by all men, being manifested, revealed that you are also a letter of Christ, cared for by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts." Now, admittedly, it's easier to point to something more tangible, like a building, and say, "I helped to start this. I helped to build that." But in God's kingdom, not every good work is so obvious. Paul's words were much more meaningful. I don't think Paul was ever part of a building program, per se. And yet, in every church, he was part of a building program, of building up the saints. Paul's words were much more meaningful. "You are our letter, written in our hearts, known and read by all men." Now, at the end of this letter, he gave them one last charge. "Finally," he said, "finally, brethren, rejoice. Be made complete," and that means to be made mature. "Be comforted, be like-minded, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another," he said, "with a holy kiss. All the saints greet you." I pray that Charleston Presbyterian will do exactly the same, and so well as Paul indicates here. And so today's message title, "Fare Thee Well." Fare thee well. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, it always grieves saints to part ways, and yet it is never permanent. And so, Lord, let us hear this message that you gave through Paul to the church at Corinth, and may it become your message to us as well. Through Jesus our Lord, we pray. Amen. There's this very funny story about two preachers who happened to run into each other on the street. And they viewed each other as rivals in the ministry. And so they were always trying to outdo one another. And one of them said to the other, "I heard you preach the other night and I recognized that sermon. You preached it 14 years ago." Somewhat chagrined, the other shot back at him. "Well, I heard you speak just 3 weeks ago, and I can't remember a word you said." Even the Apostle Paul knew that it wasn't every word that he spoke that everyone was going to remember, that his church would not always remember what he said to them. But it was this message of Christ from the Word of God that they would have indelibly stamped, printed, engraved upon their hearts. Winston Churchill once said, "Men occasionally stumble over the truth, but most of them pick themselves up and hurry off as if nothing had happened." I know that happens in churches. We sometimes pretend that we have been unaffected by the message of Jesus Christ. We may pick ourselves up and hurry off as if nothing had happened. Unfortunately, people can sometimes deny, even in churches, that their hearts have been pierced through by the Holy Spirit. Even preachers can be like that. You know, we tend to listen to sermons with a critical ear instead of with an ear listening for the voice of God. But I know that regardless of how God's word is delivered, even if people don't like the particular style of the preaching message, God's word never returns home void without accomplishing what he set out for it to do. And I have no doubt that since God's word has been preached and taught and spoken here, your heart and my heart are never able to truthfully deny at least one thing. God spoke to you and me. And no other human message spoken or taught from this pulpit will have the same effect upon our lives. All the other words that could be preached or taught from this pulpit, other than the Word of God, may entertain people for a season and may even sparkle with promise, but they shall have no lasting value. Those words shall have no consequence in the human heart ultimately. Such messages are hollow without God's inspiration and his word infusing every word from this pulpit. They may tickle the ear, as the scripture says, and such words will never come from a real shepherd who truly loves and cares for the flock. Paul really cared for his flocks. Paul said of the apostles, "We can do nothing against the truth, but only for the truth." I pray that you have sensed the same commitment in this pulpit from me. And I pray the same for your future. Paul knew that something else had been indelibly stamped upon their hearts. He said of his people, "They were cared for by us." And so it is my prayer that you have sensed that you were cared for by me. Whether or not I had the opportunity in the sermons or the pastoral prayers or weddings or funerals or maybe a baptism or telephone conversations or ministry meetings or home meetings or sharing communion or hospital visits or nursing home visits or trips that we took together or fellowship meals or chance meetings out in public, I pray that you've always felt that I cared for you. I pray that I have been a faithful shepherd tending the Lord's flock, not my flock, really, the Lord's flock. And I cannot help but always care about you. For you are like a member of my family, like a newborn baby in my family. And I pray that we spank this church into good life together. I have had only beneficent desires for this congregation, and I want to see everyone grow in the Christian faith and be made complete, mature. And to that end, I will continue to pray. For the time I was here, I gave you my heart and my soul. And so I truly wish you farewell, that you will fare well during the years ahead. And I hope that you know that I will always love you. And that is why it is crucial for you to continue to pray and not rest until another senior pastor is chosen who will stand behind this pulpit and preach the message of God and not the message of culture. You must find a new shepherd who truly cares for the Lord's sheep. And that is one of the most important things that you can do together as a congregation. For if you allow someone to stand up here who does not believe or preach the word of God, or who does not ultimately care for the sheep, and he does not or will not sacrifice himself for the sheep, entire generations will suffer the consequences, and we shall always have to answer to God and our role in allowing that to happen. Your faithfulness in this hour of testing will ultimately bear fruit in your lives and in your children's children's lives. And one day, when we all stand before Jesus Christ, we shall rejoice if we have selected leaders, elders and deacons, pastors and teachers, to preach and teach and love and act upon the Word of God. Not just believe it, but act upon it. For long after the sands of time have erased the epitaphs etched in the headstones of our graves, long after our bones and the memory of who we were has disintegrated and turned to dust, the message of Jesus Christ will still be etched in human hearts in the generations who will follow this day. You see, the only part of our good works that will endure will be those which have been found faithful to God's word. Everything else shall be burned away like dross, or wood, hay, straw, or stubble. 1 Corinthians 3:11 through 13 says, "For no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each man's work will become evident, for the day will show it, because it is to be revealed with fire. And the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. As Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." Paul also told the people of Corinth to be encouraged and comforted. He appealed to the Corinth congregation to encourage and support one another. He said the authority he received from God was to build one another up, not to tear anyone down. The people of Christ, therefore, should build one another up in the faith. We are not to tear each other down, because when we do that, we tear down Christ's entire ministry among us. God is not leading the voices of grumblings and complaints that divide a church. Rather, he leads us to join together in harmony in the Holy Spirit and the gospel message, the truth of the Scriptures, praising and serving God together. I was reminded of this not too many years ago about just how important our words and actions can be to encourage or to help someone mature in his or her Christian faith. I was speaking to a young person who had just lost a family member. And she commented that God had used the words that I had spoken in the funeral service to bring her to faith in Jesus Christ personally. "You changed my life," she said. And then she hugged me and said, "We don't know what we would have done without you." Well, I was entirely humbled, and I reminded her that God is the one who changes people's lives, but that he does choose to speak through people to comfort other people who are hurting. And I told her that in the future, God is going to choose her to speak to other people and friends if she continues to share her faith. "You may change someone's life," I said to her, "by your relationship with Christ." Now, we certainly all need loving encouragement, but we all need the truth just as much. So let us build up one another in the truth, because this is not our church, it is Christ's church. And this is his ministry, not ours. And that we shall either build up his ministry or we shall tear down his ministry. May we all be found faithful in building up his ministry and one another in the Christian faith. Paul told the Corinthian church that they should be of the same mind and to be at peace with one another and with God. Brothers and sisters, the only way that a church can be of the same mind and be at peace with one another is to believe and follow the same God and the scriptures. It is to hold to the same standard of that God. And since the scriptures are the standard for all faith and our beliefs and our behavior, it is from them that we must form our opinions and our behavior. Paul told the Corinthians in his first letter, "We have the mind of Christ." In the scriptures, we have the mind of Christ. In fact, God doesn't change his mind just because of our opinions. Don't think that God's going to change his mind because you have a different opinion, but only because of our prayers made faithfully in his word. There are a few debates between God and his people that are recorded in the Bible, and if you look at every one, God wins the debate. Jacob, for instance, wrestled with God, yes, but God won the match. God wants us to act upon his words and conform our wills to his and not vice versa. He does not want us to wrangle about words or stand aloof from the scriptures as some biblical critics do. He wants us to live these words. Friends, that is how we live at peace with God and how we live at peace with one another in the church. Only he can provide that through his living word and the Holy Spirit. And then finally, Paul charged his flock to greet one another with a holy kiss. Paul must have told all the churches to give each other a holy kiss. Did you know that this request is recorded 4 times in the epistles? Romans 16:16, 1 Corinthians 16:20, 2 Corinthians 13:12, and 1 Thessalonians 5:26. That's a lot of kissing. Evidently, the early church invested in the kiss, which was a common form of salutation in the Orient. It is not the same as it is in this culture today. But then it was a very special and sacred significance. It expressed union and fellowship within one family of God. And the kiss became the sign of mutual forgiveness and reconciliation that was exchanged between brothers and sisters in Christ's family. Some of you have kissed one another with a true holy kiss or a holy hug. In 1990, a cluttered storage yard of a museum in Zhenjiang had an old grave marker that was found of J. Hudson Taylor, the great pioneer missionary to China. The original small cemetery where Hudson had been buried was built over with industrial buildings in the 1960s, and many of the grave markers were destroyed. However, the marker for Hudson Taylor was stored away in a local museum for years. It was his great-grandson, James H. Taylor III, who found his great-grandfather's marker. Unfortunately, the museum director demanded $13,000 for it due to all the time that it had spent being stored away in that museum. Regrettably, it had come down to money that they were really concerned with. And so the pastors in China overseeing the restoration project of Hudson's grave informed the curator that he could keep the old grave marker. And in their letter, they said, "What was echoed in the hearts of people was more important than what was written on stone." Indeed, what was etched in the hearts of people, what a lasting memorial for any Christian to leave behind. Will our lives, your life and mine, have any enduring value? Or will we have any eternal consequence to what we have done? Hudson Taylor said that if he had 1,000 lives, Christ should have them all. But each of us just has one life. Have we given it to Christ and to his people? That is what the church is all about. I pray that the Charleston Presbyterian Church will continue to bring others into the kingdom of God and will help people grow as disciples of Jesus. This is not my church or yours. It is the Lord's and his ministry. And any true Christian ministry that has been accomplished here is recorded in the books of heaven, yes. But more importantly, it has been etched in your heart and in mine, and that will not pass away. And I would ask you to indulge me in this one sort of silly thought. I would rather be booted out of the door and hear that you have faithfully succeeded as a church than that you missed us terribly but failed. What greater fruit might this ministry bear without us than with us? Jesus said in John 14:12, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these will he do, because I go to the Father." Of course, all of God's messengers ultimately depart this life, but never does God's message depart with them. The message of God is indelibly stamped upon the hearts of those who believe in Jesus Christ through the Word of God. And so I desire, above my own benefit, that you fare well. And so I leave you with Paul's final benediction. "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and always. To God be all the praise and glory. Amen." Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the time that I have shared as the pastor of this church. I pray that I be found faithful as a good shepherd. Lord, I pray that this congregation would fare well in the future, that only those who love the flock and preach your word should lead this congregation. In Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.